I want to begin tonight by saying, Josh, thank you. As much as I like to cut up with you and joke around with you, I do want to say the fact that you let me stand in this place tonight, I don't take that lightly, so thank you. But I got stories about this guy. I'll leave you alone. Church, thank you. For several years now, you guys have partnered with us, been behind us, serving with us. Thank you really seems pretty inadequate, but we're seeing people's lives changed because you are involved in what God's doing in Honduras, because you do have, that is your story. When we come, and I'm going to share some stories tonight, you guys got to understand, that is Lighthouse's story. It's not just stories the missionaries coming to tell. No, it's your story. So when you go to work or when you go and talk to your family about what God's doing in your life, you can go ahead and tell them about what God is doing in Honduras because that is your story. Think about that. That's awesome. I would like to take a few minutes before we get into God's word. You've seen our video. Some of you have been to Honduras. Do you have any questions? Can I do that? If you have anything you want to know about me, about Vanessa, about the ministry and how things are going, something that maybe perked your interest there watching the video, let's take care of it. Because I absolutely love what I do. I tell people all the time, I think I have the best job in the world. And I could sit here literally, probably, and Vanessa can attest to it. I will talk all night long. I don't know if anybody will stick around and listen. But I would talk all night long about people and what's going on in Honduras. And maybe you'll have a question and I would never get to it. So if you have something you want to know. Yes. Most of our people come out of two backgrounds. Mostly probably the Catholic Church, or a lot of people are coming out of the Pentecostal Church. Both of them churches are doing a lot of good things in Honduras. The problem is they're not teaching the most important thing, salvation through Jesus Christ, Him alone. And so a lot of people are coming and checking out our church and they're hearing there can't be good enough. The works aren't going to save them. That they can just, most of them are relying on a works-based salvation, and they're finding out that that's not what the Bible teaches. And so that's what we're seeing mostly is people coming from one of those two areas and finding truth. Okay, since you've been there, we've moved. The group that, one thing I love is I'm bragging on Lighthouse everywhere I go. We travel all over the country. And I was telling Pastor about this. I'm telling him all the time, we got a church in Ohio that is prepared to come for a fourth straight year. That's awesome. Can I get share that news? Can I? For those of you that are interested, Lighthouse Baptist Church is on this calendar, on the schedule, to come to Honduras in January of 2016. That's exciting. I don't know if you're excited about it, but I'm definitely excited about it. Every year, they come, you guys come, and when you leave, I'm bugging Josh, hey, why wouldn't you come back? If it's not broken, why fix it? Let's just keep a good thing going. And it's been good every time. It's been great every time. So you guys are, Lighthouse is coming back to Honduras. That's exciting. But we are in a different location in the city. This past July, we moved out of, we were used to meet in the city. We live in a city of about 2 million people. And we were meeting on the third story of an office building type location. And we've recently, in the last year, moved to another location where we're renting our own space. We're not sharing with anybody. It's not huge by any means, but it's better than where we were. and more potential, and we're about a half a block off one of the main boulevards in the city, and it's exciting. So it's where we're at. You have to come back and see it. We've answered everything. Man, the thing is, I don't have a number for you. I apologize, Glenn. A lot. I mean, several. But I'll be honest, I have not just marked everyone. One thing, when I got to Honduras, I was conflicted on what kind of records to keep, and then you forget some, and some get counted and some don't. And so we just decided at one point, God, you know exactly who they are. Their name is written down. You know them. You love them. And we're doing our very best just to, like Josh said, see them saved, see them baptized, and see them discipled. More than I could have been able to keep track of, which is a good thing.
Yeah. The story you shared about the kids coming to church and you were feeding them, and then finally the mother came. Do you find that to be a norm, or you see the kids coming first and then the parents do follow?
With the feeding center, yeah. We've been able to reach some families because their kids are coming. They started out their kids just coming to get a meal each day. With our feeding center, we're feeding about 60 children 5 days a week lunch that they normally would not get. They would normally, the story would be that they were going to eat a plate of rice or maybe rice and beans, and that's it for the day. Now they're getting a well-balanced rice and beans or rice, some kind of meat, whether it be chicken, beef, or pork, along with vegetables every single day. And so we've been able to reach some families because we're just loving on their kids. And we've had some come. They've been a part of and faithful members of our church as a result of that. That's been awesome. And then we've also had the flip side where we've reached adults and they've brought their kids. So we've seen a little bit of both. Good questions. Any more? None over here? You guys are quiet tonight. Once again, I want to say thank you. I mean, I just feel, like I said, that's so inadequate because you guys have been behind us for so long. But I want you to understand that we don't take that relationship, that partnership that we have with Lighthouse lightly. As much as I like to joke with your pastor and give him a hard time, I love him and I appreciate him just as I do the church. And so thank you for being a part of Team Honduras. I don't want to leave out Christy and Miguel either. I know you guys support them and they're... For those of you maybe know Miguel and Christy, they were here last year. That is Vanessa's sister and brother-in-law. So my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. And they've worked with us. We got down there almost five years ago, and they came down about a year after we did, and we've been working together, and so far, so good. Amen. So if you have a Bible with you, I want you to turn to, in your Bible, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is going to blow your mind. Missionary's here tonight, and he's going to speak to you guys about missions. Deep, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10 really is the foundation for giving to missions in the Bible. You can see it. You see the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest missionary ever, apart from Jesus Christ. Is talking to the church at Corinth in this passage, and he's laying out to them giving to missions. And I don't know about you, but when I think of missions, there's a lot of things that come to my mind. If Pastor Josh stands up here and he starts and he just says missions, there's probably a lot of things that come to your mind. For some of you, you're going to think missions trip because you've been on one. Maybe you think of a certain location, or maybe you think of your favorite missionary, somebody that's out on that wall that you really connected with while they were here. Maybe you think money. You hear that word and you think, oh, they're asking for money. What do we have to give to now? It's probably because I called. Maybe you think of prayer. It's a good thing. When you think of missions, you think of missionaries. I hope prayer comes to mind. We have prayer cards. And we bought so many of them, we want to give them all away. How many of you pray? I hope I see every hand up. If you pray, I'm asking, I'm begging you to make us a part of your prayer life if it's not already. Take one of these cards, put it on your refrigerator, put it in your bathroom, wherever you spend the most time. I don't care. In your wallet, in your car. Remember to pray for us. It's important. In this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and starting in verse 1, the Apostle Paul starts a story. He's talking to the church at Corinth, and he's telling them a story about another church, giving testimony of another church in Macedonia. And look what it says. I want to start in verse 2. It says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Think about that for a second. This is a church, the Macedonian church, they're poor, they're being afflicted, and yet, the Apostle Paul says, in their great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, yet though they were poor, had nothing in this world that we live in, we think, oh, how do they do it? Yet the Bible says they had joy. Obviously, their joy was not in their possessions. It was in Christ. In the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, yet they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. It means they were generous. What that teaches me tonight is that generosity does not depend on how much money is in my wallet or in my bank account. I don't have to be rich to be generous. I can have little, but with God, little is what? Little is much if God is in it. You've heard that, right? I can be a generous person. I don't have to be Bill Gates to be generous. I can be Kenny Epp. They were generous people. Verse 3 says, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Meaning this ability to look past their trials, their tribulations, their poverty was something not of themselves. It was supernatural. Because they had Christ in them, because they had joy in their relationship with the Creator of the world, they were able to be generous. Something that the world would say, that is ridiculous. Because they have Jesus, it makes sense. Verse 4 says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. I like this verse because it's really, it's one of those things, it's ridiculous. When it says here, praying us with much entreaty, what he's telling us is they were begging him, Take my money. When is the last time anyone begged to give their money to missions? Here, take it all. Please. We just don't see that much anymore. But it's because they weren't focused on themselves. Verse 5 says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the what? Will of God. Can I tell you tonight? Missions giving is the will of God. Being involved in what he is doing, not only here in Xenia, but around the world, that is the will of God for your life. But look what it says. They didn't do it. What they did first was they gave themselves to the Lord. And if God has you, if he has all of you, that includes this. This becomes easy if it starts here. If he has you and he has all of you, if you're all in 100%, if he has you, missions giving is easy. Obedience becomes a lot more easy to deal with. But when we want to hold back, when we want things for ourselves, and that's, I'm telling you, I'm talking to you out of my own struggle. Because there's things, times when I want Kenny first. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? We all struggle with that. It's the flesh. But when we understand what this church understood, giving ourselves to God first, then we'll learn that it's easier to give to God and to others. Verse 7 says, therefore, and he's talking now to this church, focused on them, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He's basically applauding them. Because this word abound, it means to excel. And he's telling them, therefore, as you abound, as you excel in everything, you're abounding in faith. You're abounding in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in love. You guys are doing a good job at these things. Excellent. And you know what? How old is the church? 5 years old. What you guys have been able to do in 5 years through God's grace, right? Because I know it's not because Josh is anything. No, just, I had to get one in at you. No, Josh is a great man of God. Full of faith, full of love, full of knowledge. And because he is that, he's imparting that to you guys. Abounding and excelling. But look what he says. This is the warning. See to it that ye abound in this grace also, this grace of giving. You might be good at all these other things, is what he's telling this church, but don't forget your generosity. Don't forget missions. Don't forget the world. Don't forget the Great Commission. And it says, abound. So while you're excelling in all these areas, you should excel in giving as well. When we excel, that means to do better, doesn't it? If I'm going to excel, that means I'm going to be better tomorrow than I was today. If I give to missions, I should give more next year than I did this year. I should have more faith tomorrow than I did today. I should have more knowledge tomorrow than I do today if I'm truly excelling, if I am abounding. Maybe you've never been on a missions trip before. Maybe you've been scared to go to a third world country. Can I tell you, you have an opportunity next year to abound, to excel, to grow in your faith. Come to Honduras. Come see what God's doing. Get your hands dirty with us. I'm excited because next January, those that come are going to have the opportunity to be a part of something special. Our church in Tegucigalpa is celebrating our 5th anniversary. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. Because I know God's going to show up. He's going to do something awesome. The question is, who's going to be there to be a part of it? I know I am. I don't want to miss it. What about you? Will you let your faith, will you let your giving abound, excel, grow? Then he says here in verse 10, and herein I give my advice. Don't we all love getting advice from others? And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, but not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Am I in the right place? No, I want to go back. Sorry, excuse me. Verse 8 first. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. First of all, this is important because he says, I'm not commanding you. I'm not commanding you to do any of these things. I'm not commanding you to give. You don't have to do it. But if you really love Jesus, you're going to do it. I love that. It's kind of like you can say, if I could ask you tonight, raise your hand. You don't have to do this, but I could say, raise your hand if you love God. And everybody's going to be like, I love God. Do you give to missions? Because if you don't give to missions, he's saying here, prove it. Whew, that's a tough verse, isn't it? That's like when Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Oof. Because we want to say love is easy. Love is all mushy. We can say, oh, yeah, I love, of course I love Jesus. I go to church. I love Jesus. I teach a Sunday school class. Are you tithing? Are you giving to missions? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Because if we're not being obedient, that really puts into question, do we really love? In verse 10, I'm going to read it again. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you and who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, and as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Okay, so now he's saying, now it's time to do it. Now it's time. Now you've understand. Here's my advice. You love, now let's get involved. Let's be obedient. Just do it. Kind of like Nike says. But I love this passage here talking about missions, because if you flip over to chapter 9 and you starting in verse 1, this is one of my, this, I don't know, makes me laugh. It says, for us touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. He's telling them here, basically, I know that you guys know about giving. And I can testify, as a missionary, those pictures on that wall in that hallway, I understand that Lighthouse Baptist Church knows about giving. To know that you guys are coming for a fourth straight year, I know that you guys know about generosity. I also know that there's people that pray for me. And he's sitting here telling this church, I know you know all these things, so I really don't need to tell you, but basically he's saying, I'm going to anyways. I can say, I know you know this, but let's hear what he has to say anyways. And then here in this chapter in verse 9, he tells them in verse 7, talking about giving. If I'm going to give to missions, and that's not really my tithe, it's an offering. Giving to missions is just a little bit extra. How do I know how much to give? Look what he says. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So that's good news, because you get to decide exactly how much you're going to give to missions. Pastor's not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you, because the Bible says you need to decide how much that is. Not out of necessity, not grudgingly. So you need to figure out what it is that you can give and still be happy about doing it. And that's the amount you need to give. And guess what? It's not going to be the same amount for everybody. But here's the thing. Everybody should be doing it. Everybody involved. If you've come here tonight and you claim Jesus as your Savior, you are a child of God, it's everybody involved, all hands on deck, because we got a world to reach. So what is it that you can give and still be happy about doing it? And then do it. I can sit here and talk to you all night about missions. I'm passionate about it. But let me tell you something. This chapter ends giving the whole reason to missions. Why we talk about it, why we do it, why we send, why we go. This chapter ends telling us why. In verse 13, he says, while by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Basically, he's saying they who are receiving the gift, they glorify God, one, for the profession of Jesus Christ, and second, for the distribution, the giving of funds to help the ministry grow. As a result of those two things, that Christ is being professed and there is help financially, those that are receiving the gift, the Bible says, they glorify God. And at the end of the day, everything that we do in life should be for that reason. God's glory. Because he's worthy of it. So when I give to missions, when I decide that this is the amount I can give and I can still be happy about it, I'm doing it because I want God glorified. But this is huge. You guys got to understand this. It's not that he's getting necessarily even glory from me. It's those that are receiving the gift are glorifying God because of me. That is huge. Our church in Honduras, I'm excited about this. There's a lot of things that have taken place, but there's maybe one thing that I'm really, there's several things I'm proud of in our church, but our church supports a missionary. That's awesome. I'm excited about it. We support a Costa Rican family church planting in Panama. That's fun. To know that our people are getting it, that they're saying, hey, we want to give too. We want to be a part of the Great Commission. We want to send missionaries also. Right now we support one. I believe it's going to grow and we're going to do more. But it's because we want to see people in Panama who glorify God. I want to share a few stories with you tonight of people in our ministry who, because you give, they glorify God. Stefan. Stefan is 22 years old. He is a fireball. Always 100 miles an hour, all the time, always happy. You guys know people like that? Whew, they can wear you out, can't they? But I love it. And sometimes I'm like, man, you got to settle down, but I don't want to tell him that because I don't want to like squash his dreams, because he just loves Jesus and he wants other people to love Jesus. He's on staff with us. We are teaching and training him. He wants to be a missionary. The other day, well, it's been about a month ago or so, I see on Facebook, Stefan has organized this on his own. Miguel didn't tell him to do it. I didn't tell him to do it. He got about 10 of our teenagers together. And they went to the city center just to go evangelize and share Jesus. And they post on there that a lady got saved that day. And I put a like. I would have put two if I could. And I wrote on there, excellent. Well, that night he calls me. And he's like, Kenny. Just excited as can be. We went to the center today. I was like, yeah, I know. I saw it on Facebook. He goes, no, but you don't understand. A lady got saved today. I said, yeah, I put that I liked it. I even wrote excellent. He goes, yeah, but you don't get it. There's more. Bernice, she went and she was talking to people too. And you got to understand, Bernice is a girl in our youth ministry, 13 years old, 14 years old, 14-year-old girl. To go and talk to strangers about Jesus, completely outside of her comfort zone. And yet she was doing it, and Stefan was so excited for her that she was willing to forget herself but go and share Jesus. He was out beyond himself because he wants to see Jesus glorified. That's your story. Because you give, God is being glorified in Honduras. Another kid, his name is Jairo. Some of you know him. He's 19 years old. Looks like he's about 12. Jairo has been saved and baptized in our ministry. His grandmother is the cook in our feeding center. We're building an apartment for this family because they're just rock solid, serving and helping us tremendously. Jairo, he knows exactly who his mom and dad are. And what he knows about his mom and dad is he knows that neither one of them want anything to do with him. It's not like he doesn't know them. He does know them. His mother lives 30 minutes from him and wants nothing to do with him. And he's a great kid. A great kid. And he struggles with the idea, why do they not, what's wrong with me? Why don't they want me? And I don't have an answer for that because I love this kid. Over the last couple of years, he's gotten to where almost every weekend, he comes and he stays at our house. Stays Friday night, Saturday night, and goes with us to Carpintero on Sunday to church. And he's just serving and serving and serving. It's just who he is. But because he stays at our house all the time, other teenagers have started to tease him. Oh, Kenny's your dad. Like, that's your family now. Like, and giving him a hard time. And I'm just like, I'm not that bad. Why is that a joke? And I just looked him in the eye one day. I said, I would be proud to consider you a son. Like, you're a great kid. In February, I celebrated a birthday. Nobody going to wish me a happy birthday? I get a phone call. I'm here in the States, and it's Jairo. And he just says, in broken English, happy birthday, Daddy. That's tough, man. My heart melts. I miss this kid. But he serves. He loves God. And at camp this year in January, he surrendered his life to be a pastor. In September, he's going to be starting seminary classes, studying, because he's going to be a pastor someday. He glorifies God because of you. Because you're involved. Because what's going on in Honduras is your story. That's awesome. We have another girl. Her name is Angelica. Angelica is 22 years old. And she's studying to be a doctor. She's been coming to our church for probably a little over a year. Saved. Still needs to be baptized. I keep telling her, when are you going to be obedient? But she's a good, sweet girl. She's made mistakes in her life, haven't we all? And she's coming to understand the idea of redemption, that she can be a new person. She went to camp also, 22-year-old at camp, only in Honduras. No, other places too, just not here, right? She went to camp, never been to camp before, I don't think. And through the preaching, we broke into small groups at camp. And she was in my group, and she came to me, and she talked to me, and she says, I feel like God's working on me, doing something in me. She goes, but I'm studying to be a doctor, but I think he wants to use me, but I want to be a doctor. She wants to do both. And I said, you know something? Later on this year, we're planning on starting a medical clinic and a dental clinic. And she goes, she just lit up. She goes, we are? She gets it, for one. The fact that she responded, we are, and not you are, tells me that she understands that she's part of it. She's part of what God is doing in Honduras. She's involved. But to understand also that God could use her, and use her right where she's at, to serve him, was awesome. She praises God, and she has a crush on Stefan. Pretty fun for me to tease them. They'd be a great couple. We don't know what'll happen. We'll see. Doesn't matter, because this is what I love about them. I talked to them on the phone, and Stefan's like, we're not doing anything. God's first. We're just friends right now, because they don't want to lose focus. Both of them. They glorify God. Lighthouse. That's your story. People in Honduras, teenagers, adults, who have given their lives over to Christ, been baptized, and you saw our baptismal in the video. The ocean, it's pretty awesome. We haven't actually done that in a while, but we need to. We're talking about lives being changed. People who have passed from death to life. And they give God glory. It's because churches like yours, they pray, they give, they go, and they send. You guys need to understand, it's not just a story I'm telling. I'm just sharing with you your own story. I hope you're excited about it. I'm excited about it. I believe God's excited about it. And like I say in the video, it's just beginning. God wants to do so much more, not just in Honduras, but around the world. And he wants to use every single one of us, not just a select few, because our generosity can be liberal. We can give. It does not matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter how much is in your bank account. Everybody can be involved. The question is, are you? Are you involved? Would you bow your head with me? In Honduras, we do something we called a reflection time. It would be like an invitation. It's an opportunity for you right now just to think about what you've heard and how it applies to you, not how it applies to the person sitting next to you. Oh, that would have been a good person for so-and-so to hear. Too bad they're not here tonight. No. How does it apply to you? Nobody else. Maybe you've come here tonight and you're simply struggling to tithe. Maybe that's where you need to start. Just be obedient. Do the right thing. Maybe you've come tonight and you're getting by doing the bare minimum. You tithe. You come to church. But you don't give to missions. We can see in the passage here in 2 Corinthians that it is the will of God. He wants to use each and every one of them, up each and every one of us, to fulfill the Great Commission. Maybe it's about going. Maybe getting outside of your comfort zone. Maybe coming to Honduras. Maybe it is leaving the country. Maybe not. Maybe it's simply going across the street and talking to a neighbor. But getting outside of your comfort zone, so Christ is glorified. Where does this apply to your life? What changes do you need to make so that we are excelling, so that we are abounding in missions, in evangelism, in outreach, however you want to call it? What is it that you have to do to be better tomorrow than you were today? Figure that out tonight and do that. Put it into action. I don't know about you, but so many times in my life, I'm tired of talking about the things I want to do. I'm ready just to put it into action. Faith without works is dead. What changes do you need to make so that God is glorified in your life? And not only in your life, but the fact that you're involved, he's glorified in other people's lives as well. Where will you be better? Maybe you've come tonight, and maybe you've been here before, but you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you remember the church at Corinth, Paul talked to them about how the church in Macedonia, the first thing they did was they gave themselves to Christ first. And maybe you've come tonight. This is the great thing I love about being a missionary and not knowing everybody that's in the building, is that I can ask this question. Maybe you've come tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I don't know, but you do. Maybe you've come tonight and you could say, Kenny, I don't know that if I were to die today that I would go to heaven. I don't know that I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that I know Christ and he knows me. And we have a relationship. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that we can know that we have eternal life. And if you've come here tonight and you can say, Kenny, I don't know. But I know I need Jesus. Would you be willing to raise your hand tonight? Nobody's looking around. I want to pray for you. Is there somebody that would say, Kenny, I don't know if I know Jesus as my Savior, but yes, pray for me. Here's my hand. How many of you would be willing to even raise your hand and say, Kenny, pray for me because I know there's changes that I need to make in my life so God is glorified. Is there anybody that would say, yeah, I know exactly what they are. Here's my hand, pray for me. And would you make a commitment to make those changes? Because I want God glorified in your life, just like I want God glorified in my life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to meet, to open up your word, and to allow it to speak truth to us. God, thank you for that. Father, I ask that you would not just hear your word, but put it into practice. Don't allow us to leave here the same, but help us to leave here abounding, excelling, doing better tomorrow than we did today. In every aspect, help us to have a world vision for what it is you want to accomplish in the world and to understand that we can be a part of that. That you want to use us. Not only can you, but you want to. That is amazing to me. I thank you for all that you're doing, but I also thank you for all that you're going to do because I know you have great plans, not just for Lighthouse, but for your church in Honduras as well. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your ministry. Thank you for just using
your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.